Welcome to Life Planning 101, brought to you by Smart Money Group and Kennedy Financial Services in Eastland, Texas. Tune in every week as we share important information to help you and your family live life on purpose. Insurance, investments, legacy and tax planning, and much more. All covered now on Life Planning 101.
Good morning and welcome to Life Planning 101. My name is Angela Robinson with Smart Money Group and Kennedy Financial Services. Had the honor to join another podcast here recently with a very dear friend of mine who has been doing podcasts. It's called Real Wealth for a few decades now, and I can't hold him against him. He lives in Keewaskum, Wisconsin, and yes, he does sound like he's from Wisconsin, and yes, he is a Packer, and it was such a great show that I asked, can we combine this and put this into Life Planning 101 for the week? So you've got a treat. I hope you enjoy, and make sure you stay tuned each and every week right here on Life Planning 101.
Well, welcome, everybody. We have a repeat guest, Angela Robinson, and I always look forward to visiting with her. We are definitely birds of a feather. Her dad's name is Jim. I'm Jim. My daughter's Angela. She's Angela. And I will admit that once in a while, when we all get together, we'll have a cigar. So that makes it kind of cool. But we shouldn't be talking about that with a program where we talk about things like health insurance and life insurance.
Cause that's right.
That's right. Maybe a no-no. But I do know cigars are... most insurance companies, if you're just having an occasional celebratory cigar, they look at that as just that, an occasional, versus the smoking the cigarettes, I know, definitely has a big impact. But anyway, that's not the topic of today's show. But the last time we had Angela on, and she has a, she's part of a family firm, which is really cool. She's down in Eastland, Texas, and I've known Angela for a long time in industry events that we got to meet each other at, and we're in a study group together, and I've got a lot of respect for her, her family, and the organization that they run. It's just really cool. So, and she's shared a lot of things with me. We've shared a lot of things with her, and we've all been better for it, and our clients have been better for it. So, Angela, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. I appreciate the kind words and the friendship over the years and having someone else to go run things by.
That's it's always cool. So and that's the whole purpose of what we're doing here is to share ideas with people that they can take to their team and bounce those ideas off of their team, and everybody's better off for it. So last time it was a really, really good show. It was very compelling. We've got a lot of positive feedback. And you talked about, is the plan enough? And, us in our business, we've got a lot of ideas on how to solve people's problems. And we've got all these solutions. And one of them is, we've got this long-term care crisis in America, a caregiver's crisis. There doesn't seem to be enough people to go around to help all the people that need help. And there seems to be a shortage of beds or a shortage of funds to pay for the beds. And it's really a challenge. And when people don't have a plan, you've talked about where it literally will tear families apart. And you can have all the insurance in the world, but if you don't have a plan, then it's probably not enough, right?
That's right. No, it's unfortunate. I think it goes back to the story we always tell about, because my dad had the luxury of starting in the banking business, going to insurance, going to investments, and everything in the banking world was always a banking solution. There's the, there's your tool that you need is what you got in your toolbox. And then you can move to insurance. Well, the tool you need is in your toolbox and it's insurance. And you move to investments and the tool you need is in your toolbox, right? And that's just really not the case, number one. Number two is putting the tool ahead of the heart, I think, is really tough. And I think we're all guilty of it, even as advisors, is that we see the solution so quick, we're quick to jump to it. And sometimes we forget where the family is and where what they're working with or what they're not working with. And so being able to dive a little deeper into, okay, yep, that's the financial piece, but what about the mental piece here? Who's going to be the actual person that's going to be doing all this financial piece when it comes to it? Who's going to be the one coordinating all the care? Who's going to be the one physically driving so-and-so back and forth or doing this or doing that, and that is a lot. And we've seen families, have to fly across the country and disrupt their entire lives, their retirements, their own families, their own financial situations. We've seen, families torn apart over this, people that don't end up speaking after mom or dad passes because the situation gets so bad, or because they're in two totally different worlds, from a financial perspective or whatever else, and so they just can't really come to an agreement. They can't understand each other. They're not at a place to reason anymore. And we all know grief, stress kind of heightens the temperament a little bit with things, right? It's not when you need to be planning, yet we tend to kick that can. And even if, as advisors, we're doing it, we're kicking that can down the road to when it happens. And don't we tell people it's not if, it's when now? I mean, how many people actually need this type of care as time goes on? And it's really, really sad.
And so I know one of the things you talked about, because people say, well, in the area of long-term care, well, it's not going to happen to me. And another common thing I hear is, well, I'm staying at home no matter what. And my family knows that they're going to keep me here. And the problem is, the perspectives we have is based on someone who can get up and, get themselves dressed and do all the stuff. They're independent. But when you get to the point where you lose all your independence and you're completely dependent for just daily things like going to the bathroom, where you need somebody else's help, well, few people are having that conversation, because one, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And the other part is, people are so busy that they forget to prioritize because it's not right in front of them. So we can deal with that later. Plus, it won't happen. Well, let's talk about, Angela, some other areas, because the long-term care, if people wanted to hear that program, they can go back and listen to that one. But there's other areas that we help people with too, that just having the solution is not enough. And one thing that I think about, for example, is something like, disability insurance. Someone gets sick or hurt. And I know I've heard a lot of people say, when I ask them, do they have coverage? Oh, yeah, I think I have that at work, And and I had a friend of mine where he dealt with a client, and it breaks him to tears every time he talks about it, because the person said, oh yeah, I'm covered at work. And he didn't dig any deeper for him. He didn't make sure they had a plan, and he became disabled. And while he did have disability insurance at work, it was short term. He was permanently disabled, and it just totally wiped out the whole family, and they didn't have the resources there to get all the care that he could get. So he never got to the point that he might have been able to get to with the proper amount of care and a plan, because he was just scrambling to just get bills paid. And and the problem with disability, not only do you have medical bills, and if you have group health insurance and you're not working there anymore, you're limited what you could do with group, plus you got to pay for it. It's not an employee benefit when you're not an employee anymore. So not only do you have these health care bills, and you have deductibles, out-of-pocket care, and premiums to pay for, well, then you add to the fact that now your income went away. So what kind of plans do you foresee that people should be doing, more than, say, just buying the insurance, or doing more than just aimlessly saving?
Well, you know what I think you're describing is what I call checkbox mentality. It's like when the HR people show up and they have all this stuff, and I'm going to say it, they're selling you, okay? And like half of it you don't even need, most likely, but you're going to buy it because you're in an emotional state because they put you there when you get in that checkbox mentality. And then do you have, and you go down there and you check the boxes. And so you don't ever think about it again. And I think that's exactly what you're alluding to. And I forget the statistics on that disability, but most of the time, disability didn't cover up to even 60% of your income, most of the time. So it's an unreal thing on these group plans that you see. So you have to ask yourself, are you okay if your disability only paid you 60% of your income right now? And it's still taxable, by the way, because your company's paying for it, right? So yeah, it's taxable to you. So that's a problem. And then, like you said, you still got all these other things that you have to pay for along the way. And I think, the other thing to that is just back like the long-term care, that doesn't address the who, the how, the what, the when, the where. What does that look like? Okay, what is your family gonna do? Maybe your wife has been staying at home with the kids while your rate or while they're being raised and she hasn't worked in 10 years. How's that gonna look? And then maybe you need care at home. How's that gonna look? What are these things that you haven't think to, or thought about that, don't have anything to do with the money part, but have everything to do with the other part. I always laugh. I'm like, I think we're kind of like funeral home directors sometimes. I can only imagine what their coffee talk is like in the morning. If you have a couple that owns a funeral home, but we're no different, because I know my husband, I always talk about, well, if I die, make sure you do da 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 da. And the reason that we have those conversations is simply because of what we've seen that we don't want to have happen to our family. And so my question is your advisor going that deep? Are they actually asking you those questions of not only financially, but what would this look like if something were to start happening?
Most of the people that are getting this program, it's being distributed by an advisor, that, and I think their advisors get it. But, okay, I will say there's a lot of different personalities with advisors. I know you're very bold. You're not afraid to ask the questions. You build processes to make sure you're covering those bases with clients. But not every advisor is that comfortable doing the probing questions, because if the client puts up resistance and says, oh, it's taken care of, well, I don't want to prod, I don't want to feel like a pushy salesman or whatever. But truly, if you're going to do a good job, you're going to ask those probing questions. But I look at it for the client. If the advisor doesn't push hard enough to have those discussions, and I'm not talking about selling insurance or selling investments, but having those discussions to have you think about what is a meaningful plan to have to address some of these curveballs that life throw you. And you as a client, at the end of the day, it's about you. And if you've got a timid advisor, they can be a great advisor, but maybe they're just hard asking those tough questions. You need to open up that door for them and make it easier, because they'll have the skill set for most advisors. Or if they don't, for example, when you look at disability income insurance, I've got enough knowledge to be extremely dangerous, but there's a lot of nuances, a lot of products out there, and it's hard to be an expert on everything that's out there. And we've created strategic alliances, and your advisor could be someone that really focuses in one area, but if they're really good, they've got referrals for you to help cover the other areas. And so if you don't have plans with these different things, it's time to sit down and reevaluate. Not only does a plan fit what you're thinking, but does everybody else know what your plan is? Because if you can't blink once for yes or twice for no, who's going to make those decisions for you? Why put your family in a position like that where there might be a difference of opinion? It's a lot easier when you have the plan and everybody just follows your plan.
That's right. I think what people don't often think about is that if you don't decide, someone will for you. And is that really what you want? And then you have to ask yourself, and I know I shared a story about two high school sweethearts, and the woman had never had to make the big decisions, and yet here she is now having to make these big decisions. And how easy is that? Is that really what you want to put on your spouse or put on your children? I mean, that's a hard dynamic, right? Is to look at your parents and say, oh my gosh, these are the people that took care of me, and now I'm having to make decisions for them, and they aren't gonna like it. So what would they want, right? What would they want? And at the end of the day, sometimes that creates a stalemate. Those are tough things, like you said, Jim, that need to be brought up. And I would say this is that I think you need, opening your posture too, because a lot of times advisors forget to ask the question is just to say, hey, here's your problem. Do you want to solve this problem? And it's a yes or no answer,
Yeah.
right? But a lot of times you come in with the approach of what is my advisor selling me now? And that's not necessarily the case if you've got a good advisor. And I assume if they're getting this show, you probably have a good advisor because just like Jim, just like myself, they're probably a fiduciary. And what that means is that they have to do what's in your best interest and they have to be able to discuss things like that. And you need to have someone in your ball court that'll work for you in that capacity and be brutally honest with you. So, I would encourage being able to go to them and say, hey, I want this type of relationship. I want this door to be opened that you can address anything with me.
All right, well, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we spent a lot of this first segment talking about the bad things that can happen and why you need a plan. But there's also good things that happen, and they're only better when you have a plan. So let's, when we come back, we'll talk about that. So please stay tuned. Welcome back as we continue to visit with Angela Robinson. She's part of a Kennedy Financial Group in Eastland, Texas. And, Angela's got a great practice. And, the thing that they do is ask a lot of the tough questions. And again, what I say is most of you are probably getting this program through a financial or insurance professional. They're good people if they're sharing this kind of information with you. And if they haven't asked you these questions recently, I would encourage you to maybe talk to them about, is there some things we should do with planning that maybe goes beyond the products that they're using for solutions? And the one area that I think about a lot is, and I see all these commercials, right? Now, I don't know how many people remember the commercials before the financial crash, the tech bubble back in the early 2000s, but I remember these online trading companies, and I'll never forget where they show a guy on a gurney getting pushed through the emergency room of the hospital, and they're like, what's wrong with him? And they go, and he's laying on his flat on his stomach, and they say, well, he's making so much money, it's coming out of his gazoo. And, and then I think later on we, see these people at a park bench and they got a number up there and they ask, what's your number? And everything's equated to a formula, an equation, a number. And I'll tell you, I mean, for some people, they might need 100,000 in retirement to live the life they want. Other people might need 10 million. And the thing is, it's what you want to accomplish, what your goals are. And it's not all about the number. It's about what the number can do and what you need, what resources you need to live the way you want, when you want. And then you've got these legacy goals. It could be family goals. It could be charitable goals. It could be, a lot of different things, and education goals for the grandkids, the nieces, the nephews, whatever it might be. And, and so many people are just focused on accumulating money and not really thinking about what does that mean when you transition. And I've read that some of the highest depression rates are for people right after retirement, especially people that have been in management or owners of business where they just can't wait to retire and they don't know what they're retiring to. And that's one of the questions I always ask people, what are you retiring to? And they're just like, well, I'm 65. I'm just quitting and I'm just going to take a breath. Well, then what? Because if you don't have purpose in life, it gets really sad and in a real hurry. And I've heard this from a lot of people that have been successful at retiring early and none of their friends prepared to retire early. And they're just bored out of their mind waiting for their friends to retire. So I'm sure you can share just a ton on this stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting you said that. So obviously we have a tagline. We say we're helping people live life on purpose. And we ask that same question. It's not when you're retiring, what are you retiring to? And we actually have tools that we use. One of my designations is called the Certified Retirement Counselor. And I actually loved going through that designation because it gave all these worksheets and stuff that we still use today. And it talks about replacing these different facets of your life, and I think that that is so important to do that before you even have that money conversation, because really, is your money here for you or are you here for it? We treat it like we're here for it. And so it needs to be working for you and it needs to be purposeful. And your advisor needs to know what that purpose is. And if they can know what that purpose is, they can help you maximize every dollar that's there. That's their job, right? But it all begins with that purpose, like you said. And the other thing that's scary about that is that when you don't have something to retire to, then you're left with having too much time to think. And that is a very dangerous place to be when you are newly retired and all of a sudden all you have is all you have for the rest of your life. And you really start thinking about that. And oh my gosh, we have a financial crisis like 2008, 2009, and things start falling apart. And oh my gosh, my portfolio, I'm just watching it daily. I'm watching the news, watching all these horror. Think about it. It's crazy. We actually ended up having a client. They were freshly retired, sold a business very similar to what you're telling. And he was golden. He was ready. It was time. He had other things, and she was really struggling with it. And it was going to destroy their marriage, was the end up reason why they sold the business. And we entered 2008, very soon after. And we were, I think it was March 2nd, March 3rd. I think the bottom of the market was like March 8, 2009, right? Somewhere around there, March 7, something like that. And she came in the office and she said, "I can't take any more. Get my money out of there." And we begged her. I mean, on our knees, begged her. Her husband was begging her. Everybody was begging her. No, 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 no. And she did it. And fast forward about 6 months later, she comes in and her husband's portfolio looks really good, right? What happened right after that? Boom. Everything went up. And she comes back in and she's we're showing the portfolio, showing the numbers, and this is what happened. And she goes, "Well, why is mine like that?" "Well, because you told us to liquidate everything." "I did not. I didn't tell you that." Right? So we literally have that amygdala in the back of our brain, that fight or flight syndrome, right? And when things get really out of whack, we fight or flight, but then we also have the ability to forget those moments. It's your brain's way of coping with trauma. Okay? So you won't even know that you've done something crazy until you've done it. So the whole point of having a purpose before you retire is so you don't spiral out of control. And I mean that in a very sincere way, is that if you don't have purpose, then yeah, devil's gonna start attacking your mind. That's the way it works.
I remember hearing a talk, and it was during that financial crisis. It was Peter Diamandis, and he talked about the attitude. He wrote a book called Abundance, and he talks about an attitude of abundance, an attitude of scarcity. And I mean, there's not a lot in between, and what I find is, without a plan, okay, if something doesn't work, you could have all the money in the world, okay, and you think that, okay, I need X to live on, and you don't want to do the work, you don't want to sit down, go through what your cash flow is going to be, you don't want to commit to anything, because God forbid, now I'm shackled by this plan that we have. And I always tell people it's like a triptych. If people remember the old days with AAA, you'd get, before GPS, you go down to your AAA office and you say, you know what, I'm going from here to Texas on a trip, and I'm going to be leaving next week, and here's I want to go from here to here. And then they would get this flip chart that would take sections of the freeway, and they would highlight it in green, and then if there was construction areas, they put little X's on and a red or a yellow stripe to show you where that was. So you could follow the roadmap just to get right to where you wanted to go. But the cool thing about the triptych is, like if I'm going down to Florida, I'm taking I-65 down, I'm going through Kentucky, I go through Indiana, and I'm getting into Kentucky, and I'm near Bowling Green. They got the Corvette factory there. They got the Corvette Museum. Maybe
Yeah.
I'm going to veer off the road and tour that. Or maybe I want to see the world's largest cave, or one of the world's largest caves, Mammoth Cave. Well, I can get off that freeway, and I can look at the map and follow it, but then get right back on and get right back on my
Yeah.
path. So when you have a good plan, there's a lot of opportunities to shift gears. But if you don't anticipate the things that can happen, I look at it when I do cash flows for people. Every single person, they don't want to do it, okay? And then when they bring it, they look at last year's expenses and they say, okay, this is what it takes for me to live. Well, that's what it took for you to live last year. Okay.
Right.
Did you replace your appliances last year? Did the car need tires? When are you going to get a new car? You know, you say your car's paid for and you're proud of it. You're only 60 years old. You might have another 20, 30 years and your car's 15 years old. And even though it's in nice shape, is that the car you're keeping? And then if you do decide to buy another car, are you going to go to the used car lot and buy the junker for 2 grand? Or are you going to want something nice? You
Right.
know, and if you anticipate all those things, and then there's no surprises. But what I find is so many people, they'll, especially when they do it themselves, they'll figure, oh, I look at last year, I need 3 grand a month plus my Social Security, I can live happily ever after. And then all of a sudden, the new truck tires come in and it's $1,600, and it's been a few years since you bought them, and you got sticker shock, and it's like, oh my God, what else did I forget? And then you go into this life of scarcity where you're afraid to spend any money on anything,
Yeah.
and then you're not living a very fulfilled life. You
No.
know, and not only do you not spend money on yourself, but you got all those worthwhile causes like grandchildren and children and your church and your other causes and charities that you want to help, but now you're not willing to help anybody because you're living in fear. And that's the worst place to be.
Yeah. You know what I think when people retire, when they get close to retire, they start thinking slimly is like, what do I have to do to be able to retire? They start thinking that way. Well, how long can you actually live that way? I beg to say that you really can't. Number one, have you ever tried it? And if you have tried it, start practicing it before you retire. See how well it goes, right? I mean, that's a number one savings plan for you. If you just start practicing retirement, oh, I don't know, 10 years before you retire, might actually work. But unless you've done that, I don't think that's a very smart plan at all because I've never seen it work. And I obviously I still like to think I'm kind of young. I mean, I have a few gray hairs in there, but I am blessed to be second generation of a business that started in 1989, right? And I've never seen it work. I've never seen people come in with that slim attitude saying I can slim it down and actually be able to do that. I've seen a divorced woman do it, but that's it, not a retiree. So what's that say? You know, I mean, it says, why don't you just go ahead and paint the Norman Rockwell you want, since we're dealing with old analogies here. Let's paint that Life magazine. What does your retirement really want to be like? What do you want to fulfill? What do you want to do in all those areas that you were talking about with your family, with your charities, with your purpose, your bucket list? Fill it up. And let your advisor help you figure that out. That's what they're there for.
You know, we got a mutual friend from the forum, Curtis Cloak, and I like the word he uses, refirement, instead of
Refinement.
retirement. You know, I looked up the word retire in the dictionary, and one of the, and actually I did it online, so I don't actually have a dictionary book anymore, but I looked it up online, and it has a lot of different definitions, but here's the one that struck me. It says retire. In a farming situation, it's when you have useless, it's already used up, it's useless machinery, and you put it out to pasture.
That's
Okay.
true.
So I don't think any of us want to be put out to pasture. So we got to stop using the word retirement, but start looking at the next phase of life. And you know, I see a lot of people struggling with, you know, should I still work? Should I not work? You know, the thing is, when you do a retirement plan, it's not about what's right or wrong. It's what your priorities are, you
Yeah.
know? And if a part-time job, if all it is, it gets you out and interacting with other people and give you a reason to get up each day, and that's fulfilling for you, well, then you should have a part-time job. It has nothing to do with what your number is. And if you don't need the money, maybe you give it to your favorite grandchild, or you give it to your church, or you give it to your favorite charity. You know, there's a lot of things you can do. And when you switch gears, because I just look at it, when you're working for money. When you retire, the money starts working for you. So we switch places, switch roles, you know, and that can be a partnership. You know, your money can be providing you income, and you can be doing supplemental income because maybe you want to do 2 trips a year instead of one. And maybe by having a part-time job, you can travel a little bit more than Maybe you could if you just stop working. But there's, I've had a lot of people in my own office where they work part time, they got flexible hours. And I mean, right now, anybody who wants to semi-retire, the world is a dream world for them because everybody's hiring, they're desperate, they'll
Yes.
take whatever you're willing to give them. So you really can dictate what job you're willing to work, when you want to work, how many hours you want to work. And so if you still want to do that in retirement, there's never been a better time.
Yeah, there is a great movie I just recently watched with Robert De Niro. It's called The Intern, I believe is what it
Oh,
is. And
yep.
yeah, and he's retired and he goes and he works for a CEO of basically a startup company, and just a phenomenal story of exactly embracing everything we're talking about, giving him purpose, giving him a new friendship, giving him everything that he needed out of his retirement, and in return, he was a great gift to that company. And so, I think of retirement sometimes as a way that you can reframe yourself to give back in ways that you've been given throughout your life. And, just like you mentioned, Jim, people are desperate for great quality people, culture-filled people is what I call it. People that really just want have a heart and buy into whatever they're deciding to do. And I know, if you're looking at retirement and you're looking at through this lens, you're that person. And so the world is your oyster. You're getting to start over. Think of it like you're graduating college all over again, but this time it's not about the money.
Yeah, it's a great place to be. And, we talk about part-time jobs and stuff like that, but there's also lots of opportunities for volunteering. I know for business owners, there's a thing called SCORE, which is a public-private partnership that matches people with experience, business experience with startups and helping to mentor young business people into being successful. But there's things like junior achievement, where they teach in the schools some basic fundamentals to help make them have a more fulfilling life and work career, and every place in between, Habitat for Humanity and the soup kitchens. And there's just so many different things where you can use your talents and interact with other people and give back. Because my personal experience is you can never outgive what you get in return. And so it's just such an exciting time. And again, if you don't have a plan, if all your whole plan is I'm just going to save, 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 save until I get to this number, whether that number is a date in the calendar or the number is a amount of money that you have in retirement or savings accounts, well, there's a lot more to life than just that. And then understanding what that number means, because most people don't give themselves the time to do it. I see a lot of people that sometimes feel guilty about what they've, accumulated and all that. And all that is because you don't have a plan. You don't have a strategy of what you're going to do. And when you do that, you just have a much more fulfilling life. Any final thoughts, Angela?
Well, you made me think of one thing there. I've come across people that are just plain miserable, and they are working to get to that number because they feel like they have to. Talk to your advisor about that, because I take of the ilk of everything we've been talking about is that your money is here to work for you. And if that is not working, work on a plan for that. You don't have to get to that number possibly. Maybe there's a part-time job that can supplement till you can get to here or whatever that is, but don't be miserable, because miserable usually means that there's some type of long-term healthcare event happening earlier, and you don't want that. It's not worth the stress. So I think that's just as important to be thinking about is, yep, we think about this at the end of the rainbow, I get to do all this, but you should have the rainbow along the way in the process.
You bet. Having balance, and I just look at it, so many people, if they just had a plan, stress is the biggest cause of health issues. And when you don't have a plan, you have stress. I
Yes.
mean, it's real simple because it's fear of the unknown. You don't know what you don't know.
That's right.
So you owe it to yourselves, you owe it to your family. And like we said, not every advisor is really strong on asking the difficult questions. They want to ask you the questions, but if in the past, you put up a stone wall to that, or you had a lot of resistance there, and I don't want to go there, you owe it to yourself to ask them how they can help you or what resources they have to lay out a plan in all these different areas so that you can have the most fulfilling life possible and have as happy of a retirement as you possibly can because you're not worrying about the money part. That needs to be the least of your worries. But to be at that point, you also have to plan to get there.
That's
So,
right.
everybody who's listening, I mean, I'm biased about having a coach. You look at the greatest sports players in any sport, they all have personal coaches to keep them on track and to keep them accountable. And if you have that coach, you need to take advantage of them. Look
Yeah.
at them as your ally, not your adversary.
That's right.
Well, this has been great, Angela. I could talk all day, but
I
then
know.
get any work done.
Well, I thank you, Jim, for having me back on Real Wealth. I enjoy coming on the show, and I truly hope that, I know what you feel the same way, that every time that we get on a podcast or whatever, that it really helps change someone's direction so that they start heading in a life filled for purpose, right? Everything we've been talking about today. So thank you for allowing me to come on, even with my little Texas accent. I did hear myself come out there. Appreciate you, and just appreciate all your family has been to us as a family as well.
Thank you for joining us for Life Planning 101, brought to you by Smart Money Group and Kennedy Financial Services. If you have questions, you can email them to lifeplanning@kennedy-financial.com. Don't forget to learn how our sister company can assist you with all of your tax, bookkeeping, and consulting needs. You can find out more at briscoeandassociates.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Life Planning 101. The opinions expressed herein are those of the firm and are subject to change without notice. The opinions referenced are as of the date of publication and are subject to change due to changes in the market or economic conditions and may not necessarily come to pass. Any opinions, projections, or forward-looking statements expressed herein are solely those of the author, may differ from the views or opinions expressed by other areas of the firm, and are only for general informational purposes as of the date indicated. Securities offered through Calton & Associates Incorporated, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Smart Money Group, LLC. Kennedy Financial Services and Smart Money Group, LLC are separate entities and are not owned or controlled by Calton & Associates Incorporated.